You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Shea Pataja, and I'm here for the stats and laughs.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
Welcome, first of all, you guys. Thanks for being here, even though we have a few little, you know, changes in how things are.
You bet. You know, hey, doing the same thing week after week can be, you know, kind of boring, so we decided to change it up because we can't find a few things, but we'll get it figured out. The disclosure. Disclosures are important for compliance.
Disclosure, disclaimer. And,
you know, we will disclose.
The all-important compliance.
And
we'll do our best.
Can I just say that this doesn't ever get boring? I mean, does anybody ever say, discussing my money, my financial future is boring?
No, honestly, we have had some nice comments about that rather. So thank you,
yes.
Those of you who are listening. We love doing this show. We've put some prep time into today, and we'll do our best to try to answer your questions. Today is Thursday, 4/28, and joining me today, as Colleen mentioned, is Heidi Cartwright. Welcome, Heidi.
Good morning.
So just give us a little hint before we dive into the whole thing. What happens at 55? I mean, I'm thinking Social Security, no, that's later. 55, you're probably still working. So what's the significance of 55?
Some retirement accounts allow you to take distributions, it is, without a penalty. Why could that be important? You retire in the year in which you turn 55. That particular 401k that you're a part of would allow you to take a distribution that is not penalized. There is no 10% penalty on that sum. Why could that be important? We need some money. We're retired now. We hadn't intended to, you know, whatever, for whatever reason.
We need a new roof.
That too.
And even though we're retired, we still need it, right?
Right.
Okay.
It can go for a variety of reasons. So now the only catch is it could be 50 for some, but for most it's 55. We're going to talk about these rules, excuse me, and how to avoid the problems, the potential problems that could result, and also how to get access to your money. Now, some of this is, I always thought it had to be, I have to wait until 59 and a half. That's always the magic age, right? Well, if it's an IRA, that's the case. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get into all the other stuff. It's amazing the ins and outs of trying to figure out how to draw this money. So that's why we're talking about it today. How do we avoid that 10% penalty? Well, 10%, how much is that really? Well, on $20,000, it's $2,000.
Well, it's a lot.
Yes.
I mean, it's the money that you've earned, so you don't want to lose it, right?
Right.
Right, and you don't want to pay a penalty if you don't have to. If you just follow some rules and some guidelines and you can avoid that, it could be worth it.
Yeah, and here's what it says on your outline today, and that the topic is forced out early, ? The pandemic forced 3 million American baby boomers into unexpected retirement. And that I didn't know. Might not be a permanent choice, but it's a concern for those who are suddenly forced to draw from their retirement accounts indefinitely. In a Gallup survey taken in 2018, most Americans expected to retire at age 66. Today, though, most will retire around age 60. That's about 26% of the retirees who must leave the workforce earlier than expected.
Oh, that is a common theme.
Yeah.
That stat is interesting enough, and it's put out from the Employee Benefit Research Institute, for those geeks who want to know where that came from, EBRS. Given that's the case, we need to be aware, in some cases, you know, what if I am forced out early? What if I'm forced out early by my own volition? You know, I wanted to do this myself.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, she's demanding that I come back home. Whatever that might be, right? So, excuse me, I'm going home, and I'm going to stay home. If that's the case, How do I take money out of this plan? How do I avoid the penalties? How do I exit without paying all the costs that might normally be the case? That's what we want to discuss this. One important step necessary to answer the question of the rule of 55 is, first of all, it's often misunderstood, leading to potentially significant and unexpected penalties. And where is this from, this comment? This comment is from the May newsletter from Mr. Ed Slott, CPA. Thank
yes,
you,
indeed.
Ed. Using the rule of 55, retirement accounts are, of course, meant to be used for retirement. Often we think of age 59 and a half, as we mentioned, as the real age. But it's not. Congress, as this article says, has a heart. Well, they have a heart. They've also moved some of the penalty boxes, if you will.
That might be news to some people.
Yes. One of the exceptions to the 10% penalty is the rule of 55. This exception, which applies when an individual separates from service. That means for most of us, you're no longer working
retirement.
There. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't work at John Doak's anymore. Okay. Separates from service in the year he or she reaches the age of 55 or later. So you don't have to be 55 exactly when you leave service. It's the year in which you turn 55, just to try to make it a little more confusing.
And it is confusing, and thank goodness. I mean, this makes a great case for seeing a financial advisor to navigate this stuff. It's just so dense, and it's so... It's in flux, it seems like. The rules change all the time.
Colleen, this is so dense that, honestly, that is a great way to put it. That when we call administrators, I don't know how else to put this. They don't always know what they're talking about either. And you can't believe some of the conversations we have where we've got to talk to an administrator at the administrator who actually knows what they're talking about, because this navigating the rules and regulations, they don't always know the rules and regs.
And then you've got to understand it and then translate it back to your clients.
Exactly.
That's a lot.
Yes. Sometimes
and
it's in Chinese.
We probably should clarify. You're talking about people from 55 to 59 and a half, where there is no penalty once you're 59 and a half. Right?
Thank you.
Okay.
It's still so weird to me that this is and a half. I'm like, why don't they just pick 55, 60, 65? Why don't you just make that the thing?
It always reminds me of that comment from, you know, Are You Stupid? From the movie we all love.
Well,
Thank
I
you,
always
Tom
imagine
Hanks.
Half of the Congress or half of the Senate like saying 60, 60, and the other one 59, 59. And they're like, okay, fine.
Split the difference.
Yeah, let's move forward.
I'm sure that's how it came out.
Mm-hmm.
The exceptions provide a way out for those who meet the qualifying requirements. There is a laundry list of 10% exceptions, which we're going to discuss too if we have time. Now, the bad news is that misunderstandings about when this exception can be used are all too common. So to qualify for the age 55 exception, separation from service, you're no longer with the company, must occur in and after the year you turn 55 or older. For federal, state, and local public safety employees, age 50 is used instead of age 55. So if you work for instance, the city of Traverse City, generally you're going to be afforded that age 50 waiver, if you will. So you're separated from service at age 50, then you can take money from that plan when you're 50 or later if you're no longer working there and not pay the 10% penalty. Well, I've got four 401ks. Let's make this simpler. I've got three 401ks from different employers. I left this one when I was 45. I left the other one when I was 48. And I did leave this last one when I was 55. Can I take that free distribution from all three because I'm 55? The answer to that is
no.
No. Thank you, Heidi.
Why did I know that was going to be the answer?
It's only the one that you... were 55 when you left.
Yes.
Or older.
The age, the year in which you turned 55. So you got to pick and choose which plan should I draw from if you need the funds at that point. Well, I'm not going to need any of them. So obviously that's not the case here. You may in that situation then decide to roll these to an IRA. But if you think you might need some money, I'm 58. Now we run into this deal too. I'm 58, and I'm sure I'm not going to need any lump sums.
You can never know that, though.
Yeah.
How can
so,
you ever be sure?
Safe sometimes rather than sorry. I'm so sorry, Uncle Albert.
We are so sorry.
Our good break tune, right? So maybe that's the situation. You may need some emergency funds because you're now retired from that place of work at age 55, and you may need some funds between the age of 58 and between when you turn 59 and a half. Okay.
Okay, so
at
we're doing
age 59 and
lot
a half,
more math than you can, I would want to be.
So, okay, so let's just say, you know, I don't know, let's use a number. $500,000 is in the 401k, and we may need some funds until we're 59 and a half. How do we make that decision? Well, okay, are you going to make any purchases? Where is your current cash position? You know, those kinds of discussions need to happen. And if you need more than what you might normally need, what would be the sums? Well, we could use up to $100,000 possibly, you know, a pretty good size number. But here's why. There is a pickup and a camper that's burning a hole in our minds and has not yet burned a hole in our pocket. But we may
but
decide
we
want to do that.
And
so we just want to be sure that we could take the money at the lowest cost possible. Well, in that case, you may decide to leave $100,000 behind in the 401k to avoid the 10% penalty because it came front of mind when you retired. You see where I'm going with
that.
Yeah,
did we talk about this? I can't remember if we spoke about this in the hallway one time or this was on the radio, but cash, keeping some cash around. In case you need some
emergency
cash,
fund.
And then you don't need to dip into that and mess with it, right? You just use the money and then you're good. And
yes, all's well that ends well. But situations may come up. So leaving some behind could be a good decision to make. Just a what-if situation. Well, what if I don't need it? Don't take it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You don't have to take it.
No.
It's just that if you do need to, it's nice to have a less expensive alternative.
Well, and you can get it today.
Yes.
Right?
Generally, it's relatively quick. Mm-hmm. 7 to 10 days is a safe
estimate. Just quick.
Okay.
Right.
And Dennis, we probably should point out that we're talking about the 10% penalty for taking early. You still have to pay income tax on whatever you take out if it's in a traditional
See, that's the compliment I got regarding Heidi a couple weeks ago. Dennis, you always go in from the 30,000 foot clouds, and then she always discusses the details
so
and brings those back so that I can really understand what the heck you're talking about.
Exactly.
So it's all good indeed. So the rule of 55 now, avoiding timing mistakes. A common area of confusion with the age 55 exception is the timing. Early retirement cannot be too early. If an individual hopes to use this exception to access retirement savings without penalty. The tax court ruled in this particular case that a teacher was liable for the 10% penalty for an early distribution made from an employer plan. Now, for those who want to know the exact details, this was Gail Marie Watson versus Commissioner. From 2011. So this is where she was having a problem with the IRS and decided to take it to tax court, and she lost. Mm-hmm. All right? So although her distribution took place after she attained age 55, her separation from service occurred when she was just 53. I'm sorry, that's not going to work. She took it out of the plan when she's 55 or older, but she separated from service when she was age 53. Both of those have to go together. The separation from service has to occur in the year in which you turn 55.
That's why you
played that rock tune at the beginning, and I'm thinking, where did that come from? Oh, yeah, that's the 55 moniker. Yeah, yeah.
You know, it makes me wonder. I mean, you could easily make that mistake. You know, you'd be thinking you're doing one thing at 53, but it's supposed to be 55 or whatever. Do you find that very many people learn from you early enough in life to have it make sense when they are 55 or 53 or whatever the age is.
That's why we encourage all grandparents to bring their grandchildren along when they're listening to the show on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock.
But it's just such a conundrum because do they understand it? But, I mean, like you were just saying, all of a sudden this thing is happening at 55 and you're 55, so you have to decide right now. You could have been thinking about it for 20 years and making a plan, right?
Yeah. Getting prepared in your own mind. Okay, this is what I know I can do, given the plan and what I've been told from all the plan and my advisor and possibly even the HR department. That's another part of the discussion. Who are you talking to, and are you communicating what it is you want to do properly to make certain that they've understood you? That's why you may want to have one or two others in on those conversations. What? Can I have these conversations on my own? Believe me, you wouldn't believe how easy it is to have misunderstandings about this, Colleen.
All right. So from the text line, I have a listener says, my bond funds have lost a lot of value, interest rate risk. My instinct is to sell them to avoid further loss of principal. Are they likely to rebound soon, or is my gut correct?
On the short term, it's always difficult to say, you know, we could see a rebound, but big picture only, and I cannot advise you that specifically without knowing your situation better, but generally I would say yes, avoid those, especially longer term bond funds, because as interest rates rise, which most of the prognosticators are saying is going to happen, we're going to see a further decline in bond values and thus bond funds. So unless you're in some sort of shorter-term bond fund or even an inflation-indexed, if you will, type of mutual fund, it's very difficult to advise at this point to stay with those, especially longer-term bond funds, if that's the case, if that's what you're owning and talking about.
Okay.
All right. So generally, really take a close look at those kinds of funds right now. Yes, indeed.
And I would just say you want to take a measured approach if you're making changes. You want to think through and you know, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. You can move portions of things. And also you want to look at your own timeline. You know, how far out is retirement for you? How far out things are? And that can all make a difference in what your decision turns out to be.
Have a conversation with a professional about that. As Heidi was just talking, I was thinking, my gosh, you know, just sit with somebody, sit with us. Our phone number, for those who might want to know, is 231-947-3992 or proutfinancialdesign.com.
All right. Before we get to another text question, it looks like we might have a phone call. We're going to give it a try. Hello. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Amity. Are you talking to me?
I am, Amity. Are you calling for Dennis Prout?
I am.
All right. Well,
morning, Amity.
You're in the right place then.
Yes. A lot of advertisements on television and radio about gold. Is gold, they seem to do like insurance companies. They sell the fear. And is gold a hedge against inflation, or is it a hedge against the federal dollar collapsing?
That is a great question.
That is a great question, Amity.
It is. It's much more a hedge against the dollar falling, given our extreme spendthrift ways as a government, as a country. It is much better a hedge against a falling dollar. Now, the dollar has not fallen now for 2 years, to put a fine point to this. Isn't that interesting? Inflation is certainly rearing its head, mm-hmm. and gold has also risen because I think mostly of uncertainty, given this economy. So gold can serve a variety of purposes, and or silver. But, you know, they tend to be a hedge against the worst and against a spendthrift government when eventually you may see a decline in our dollar, if that answers your question, okay?
Yep.
Does it?
All right.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you, Amity.
It can also be quite volatile.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Heidi. See, I told you. That's why
here's
she's
what
here.
I picture when you talk about buying gold and silver is coming home with a wheelbarrow with these big gold bars in it and putting it up in the rafters of your garage or something like that. It just
a safe might be better.
A safe. I mean, is that what people do? Buy gold bars and just save it that way?
Well, gold bars are it's not cheap and it's expensive over there.
How much is a gold bar?
Well, how much is a gold bar? It depends on obviously the price of gold and how many ounces are in that bar.
How about like the one that's about the size of a brick?
Well, that'd be about $190,000 if it were 100 ounces.
Really? Wow. So I guess you probably...
I didn't pay that for my first house.
Yeah, honestly, right. I know. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
See, the collar just got a little bit tighter. Well, if you're buying a 10-ounce bar, obviously, it's about $19,000. 1-ounce coin might be about $1,900 to $2,000, depending on the day of the week. Now, you can buy a 100-ounce silver bar for about, about $2,400 or so. That's 100-ounce. You can also buy that wheelbarrow-style 1,000-ounce, I see thumbs up.
Gold bar. 1,000-ounce
silver bar. Now, those things are crazy huge, but that's going to be about $23,000 or so.
So let's say you buy a couple of silver bars today. What do you do in the future? I mean, where do you take that thing later?
Let's say you want to trade it in for a car.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, you're not going to show
two of those will buy a car, an average car today.
I'll trade you that for that. How does it work?
Yeah, what would Williams Honda say at that, or Bill Marsh Motors? You probably want to change that to dollars before you come to see us. So
you do that at the bank?
No, you need to do that at a dealer, a qualified
Obviously,
dealer.
Obviously, I have no experience
Isn't that great?
In gold or silver.
Yeah, so
bars.
The bank is not going to give you cash for that because they don't accept 1,000-ounce silver bars as a means of exchange. That's great. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is crazy.
You think about that. Now, what's interesting is you were asking that question. I was thinking about, think about the liquidity of what it is you're buying when you're buying these assets. Mm-hmm. Liquidity makes a difference. You're going to be able to buy that 1,000-ounce bar at basically the price of silver. But if you want to buy a 1-ounce silver coin right now, the market is about $23 an ounce today as we sit here. But if you bought that coin, it'd be almost $30 to $32 or so per ounce. Well, you're not going to pay that for the 1,000-ounce bar. You're only going to pay about $23 an ounce for that bar. But you see that bar, you can't, it doesn't have near the...
It's heavier.
The liquidity. It's heavier.
I feel like buying that type of thing is, if you just have so much money and you want sort of a novelty investment almost.
Well, that's the heaviest backpack I've ever seen,
honestly.
Sir. Yeah, yeah.
You're buzzing when you're going through security at the airport, right?
Well, Colleen, you don't have to buy the physical asset or the physical commodity itself, like the bars or the coins. You can invest in precious metals through other mediums such as mutual funds, ETFs, common stock in a company that maybe mines precious metals or something like that, and you can participate in that precious metals investment without owning the actual physical stuff.
Yeah, you can go Warren Buffett style. I mean, he says, when you buy this stuff, it just looks at you. It doesn't do anything. It's not really that exciting. Well, some people do like to own something like that or have it in their safe or in their coffee can, whatever.
That's kind of the fun thing if, you're long gone and your kids are cleaning out your attic
and they find the
gold bars in a little trunk. Wouldn't that be fun to leave your kids?
Look what mommy left in the bedside drawer. Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't that be
kidding.
The best?
Yes.
All right, you want to take another text question?
Sure, let's do it.
A listener says, we, both 83, just converted both of our IRA accounts to Roths. Is there a time limit on how long the spouse can hang on to an inherited spouse's Roth?
Okay, before you go on to the rest of the question, I want to interrupt you there, Colleen. This is a great question, but before we move on, I want to answer that first part, if we may, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, we, both 83, if you're married, well, she says, how long the spouse? So, yes, they are married. Let's assume he passes away first. she can inherit this IRA, Roth IRA, and hang on to it for the rest of her life without having to take a distribution. Isn't that rock and roll? See? See, even Vic's smiling over there. It's kind of radical.
Isn't that rock and roll?
She can hang on to it forever. Now, there are some benefits to being able to do that, right? Because it grows tax-free. If you or her, in this case, want to take money out, you can take all the principal out without any penalty whatsoever, all right? If it's left in there for more than 5 years, there's no tax on the gain either. And what comes out first in this? Always what comes out first is the principal first. So in most every case, we're not going to have to worry about any tax on this. But she inherits it. She can take monies out as well, or she can leave it in there. Now, if you do have children, let's go on to read the rest of the question, if you would, okay. There, Colleen.
When our three children inherit what's left in both parents' Roth accounts, I believe they have 9 to 10 years from January 1st of the year the last parent
died
to let inherited shares of parents' Roths be distributed or left to grow, being sure Roth accounts are empty before the end of the 9 to 10 year limit. That was confusing to me.
So it's 10 years in the year, 1231 after the year the last surviving spouse dies.
Okay.
So again, let's assume she outlives him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 10 years from now. So 1231 of 32. 10 years. The children have 10 years after that date to fully empty those Roth IRAs. They could theoretically let those accounts grow all the way into 2042 without having to take any amounts. If they take whatever amounts, those are totally tax-free. Totally.
So
tax-free.
Take it out and start something else, right?
Yes.
Let your money grow.
They can
elsewhere.
Use those funds for education, or for whatever purpose. Being sure Roth accounts are empty before the end of the 10th year following the year of death, 1231.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yep.
So those are the rules. Pretty cool, huh? So think about this. I'm always a little concerned when I see someone who's turned 83 doing a conversion. That is a bit later in life. But think about this. In this case, it's not just about them. They're thinking about the children, too.
Obviously,
and
yeah.
Would they benefit? And yes, especially if their children are savers and or are willing to put off a little bit, if you will, this can be even better for them to inherit than any other kind of retirement account currently. No distributions required, and distributions that are taken in the 10-year period are all tax-free. Just final distribution not required until the end of the 10th year, 1231 after the year of death. Pretty flexible.
A lot of
right?
numbers here.
Yeah, you bet. Shea Stats.
Heidi Stats today. So, the first one I have to read is missing from work. An estimated 3.4 million American workers dropped out of the U.S. labor force since early 2020 when the global pandemic began and have chosen not to return. The difference between a projected 167.8 million workers that would have been in the labor force if the pandemic had not occurred versus 164.4 million workers actually in the labor force as of March of 22, and that comes from the Department of Labor. The next one, they should be 41% of 1,168 American retirees surveyed in the June 2021 were very concerned or somewhat concerned that the value of their retirement accounts might not keep pace with inflation. And that comes from the Society of Actuaries Research Institute. But I would say that I see that a lot with people coming into our office, that people are concerned about inflation, and it's really starting to be on the dashboard for people of things that they're concerned about and looking at.
It is indeed. Given the conversation we had last week about inflation, it's said that People don't often understand the real cost, but I think that it is coming home to a lot of people in terms of, you know, what this is really going to mean or what this is meaning to us. It's a real decline in our standard of living for folks because everything seems to be more expensive these days. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. We have another one. This one's about China. China's growth target for its economy in calendar year 2022 is a gain of 5.5%. Now, the U.S. economy has grown at least 5.5% in just four of the last 50 years. So that's from 1972 to 2021. And those years are 1973, 1978, 1984, and 2021. And that comes from the Bureau of Economic Analysis. So that's a big goal, 5.5%.
Well, you would think it would, unless you know the goals and the actual achievement of China in the past. That's relatively conservative given history. So its growth target is pretty conservative given what they've been able to achieve in the past. That part's interesting, you bet. Just finalizing the notes here regarding age 55, it is not uncommon for workers to acquire multiple plans. We discussed this somewhat, multiple qualified plans, 401k here, 403b over there, all these kinds of plans from different employers over the years. These individuals will be restricted in which funds they can access penalty-free. So be aware that not all these funds might come out penalty-free from the federal government. Know before you go, right? So the takeaway, timing mistakes and misunderstandings are far too common. It is important for early retirees to understand exactly how the rule of 55 works and when it will not. This can be a critical opportunity for, and this is notes to us advisors, for advisors to help clients navigate the challenging transition from working years to retirement years. Like anything else, I mean, if you know the rules and regs, it can be an exciting time. Oh, well, so I can avoid this and I can still have access? Yes, I can avoid the penalty and have access? Yes, contact the administrator. How long does it take us to get money for this gentleman who's thinking of retiring? All those kinds of questions and making this work for you, it's an opportunity to avoid those penalties and also know you have access to emergency funds if you should need it. All right? All these things come into play.
So, Dennis, question, if you had another 401k plan from a previous employer and you had rolled it into this employer that you leave when you're 55, can you access that balance?
That's a great question. So if you had actually left one employer and rolled that old one into the new one, the answer to that is yes you can.
All right, we might have to go into
that's why Heidi is here with us.
That's why Heidi is here.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.